Vancouver to ask the Lord's blessing upon our next speaker, Brother Bolton. Brother Braddock.
Our dear, kind, loving Father in heaven, humbly and reverently we bow before thee this morning. Dear Father, thankful for thy many blessings of the convention. We pray, dear Father, that thou be with us this day, and our hearts and minds may be more receptive to thy word, and we may together fellowship upon thy word and receive the blessings from them. We pray, dear Father, that thou be with Brother Lloyd as he breaks the bread of life to us, that he too may be blessed by them. And we continue to pray for thy kingdom and thy will to be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we also pray for the world of mankind, that they too may come to know the love given by the giving of thy Son, Jesus. And we ask that thou forgive us of anything we've said or done amiss, for we pray in Jesus' dear name. Amen.
I forgot to make the announcement. There are just two or three brief announcements. There's been a pair of dark-rimmed sunglasses lost. If anybody happens to find them, if they will, please bring them up during the day. We will return them to their owner. I have a telegram here from a Phoenix Bible class. It reads, Dear brothers, to you gathered together in convention, may the Lord richly bless you. We of the Phoenix class send our Christian love and greetings, Deuteronomy 31 and Deuteronomy 8. The Phoenix Bible class. And then an announcement for the Seattle class. Brother Loomis will serve the Seattle class at 8 p.m. on Thursday, next Thursday, at the Canal Home. That's our usual Thursday night meeting place. As you all notice on your programs, that our first speaker for the day is Brother Bolton of New Westminster, British Columbia. He's not unfamiliar to all of you. He has talked at the convention before, and I'm sure you have gotten acquainted with him. We're exceedingly happy to have him with us today, and he is going to talk to us on the topic of ambassadors for Christ. Brother Bolton.
Thank you, Brother Wilcox. It's indeed a wonderful blessing to be here with you, brethren in Seattle, and other representatives of Ecclesias throughout the Pacific Northwest. I want to bring the love to you, Sister Berna, Sister Gail, and Valerie. We've enjoyed it immensely in the home of Brother and Sister Kirkham. It's been a real royal welcome. They've looked after our every interest. I even remarked yesterday, even in the bathroom, they've set the scales back a little bit for us. So I think they've done everything to make me feel welcome. The subject which we would like to comment with you this morning is the subject of ambassadors of Christ, Ephesians 6 and 20, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I speak boldly as I ought to speak, the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. A young boy in college, a neighbor of ours, was asking me what vocation he would choose, or he should choose in life. And he asked me what my opinion might be. He's quite a bright boy, does very well in university. I think he's going into his second year. He was an honor student in his first. So it was somewhat impulsive when I answered that I would like to belong to the diplomatic corps. If I had a choice of worldly pursuits, this is something that would appeal to me. Now, as I say, this was more or less a spontaneous answer. And after thinking about it, I wondered why I had said this, because I don't think that I'd had any longings for such a pursuit in life beforehand. But I reckoned maybe this was my pursuit in life as an ambassador for Christ. And this might have been the reflection of which I was speaking to him, of a course in life which might not be on the religious side, but which might be the longings of my heart. What is an ambassador? I'm sure you all know. He is a worthy representative, appointed to represent one power, nation, it might be, or faction to another. Now, we are more familiar with ambassadors of nations of one to another. Now, these ambassadors are chosen as proven, usually, good politicians. Now, they are politicians that aren't of maybe a corrupt nature, but who have proved themselves over to the years that they are ones that are sincere and earnest of wanting to represent their country or their peoples. They must be of good, reputable character before they are chosen. They must feel impressed with the responsibility of this double position. For it is not for self, but of the country of which they represent. Of going abroad, they're going to represent themselves personally as an individual, also of the country of which they might represent. Or if they're going to another country as a representative of a big company such as General Motors, Ford, or whoever you might say, General Electric, they too are ambassadors to this end. Now, he must be of the character of truth, honor, self-respect. He must be a lover of justice, not only of his personal responsibility, but he must remember that this is the things which he is going to represent of his nation, either be honored or dishonored by his course of actions. As one to represent an important nation, how much more honorable to represent the heavenly kingdom, to represent its King of Kings and Lord of Lords before the peoples of this world. Now, we are proved before we are ambassadors, before we are put on active service. And this is the way, as I mentioned before, about ambassadors of nations. They're proven politicians. So it is with the Lord's ambassadors. They are proved before going on active service. While still living in this world, we are not of it. We are transferred or our allegiance and citizenship to a heavenly kingdom. And now, as an appointee of our kingdom, we are representative ambassadors. Forewarned, we are not to expect worldly appreciation. But as our first ambassador, that one who went before, we will draw against us the oppositioning forces of darkness, of the world, of certain influences of peoples and conditions which will be against our work and of our good intentions. We look to John 15:18 and 1 John 3:13. We must remember ambassadors of a hated government is more critical and unsophisticatedly watched than under normal circumstances. to bring this forth, we might say the ambassador of the United States to Russia is under very close watch by that country, by the diplomatic corps, and all concerned. They are watched very closely. And this is what we say of the Lord's ambassadors to the world. You are under very close and scrupulous eyes looking at you to see what your course of action is. Now, the greatest adversary to an ambassador or his diplomatic corps, which he has in a foreign nation, are spies. They're trying tremendously to discredit the intents of friendly and helpful aides, and as propaganda for future sabotage. And this is true what can happen to us. No matter how well our intents may be for our neighbor, for our fellow man, there is always someone in the background that will twist or turn your honest intents to a way in which it will discredit not only you, but all of us. Ambassadors, as a rule, do not have anything very difficult to do, we might say, until diplomatic problems arise, such as the present world conditions. I believe our ambassadors are quite busy these days trying to hold things down. They have found quite trying conditions. We mentioned Russia and United States, maybe the two of the greatest nations. And we can see the diplomatic relationships that are going on continuously day after day, which is not brought forth to the public because they're not too serious on the aspects of bringing about another war, but they are conditions which are very important. There are important decisions which have to be made. And under trying conditions, if these things do boil up to the surface, the demonstrations against one government and what they might feel towards this diplomatic corps proves how good our ambassador or representative to these nations are. If he is able to smooth things out in a diplomatic way, fine. If he's not the man for the job, their anarchy arises. They hand him his passport and tell him to go on home. He's not wanted. If troubles become too severe, he is threatened with violence. He might actually be run right out of the country. His very life might be in danger. Our present condition is much the same, brethren. We are in a hostile country. We must endure patiently. We must put forth our message to this country, to these people, of the establishment of our kingdom. It's not our wish, but it is the wishes of our head ambassador to represent Christ and his kingdom. John 18:37. We read, "To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth." Our Lord Jesus bought the same commission to you and I. It's hard to understand if we put this into a worldly application of saying of the United States ambassador going to Russia, knowing that his government eventually is going to take over that country. I tried to think of a comparison of this, but I thought maybe in Japan. You remember before United States came into the war, the diplomatic ambassadors of Japan knew the intents of their country. They were sincere in their beliefs that they were going to overtake the United States. It must have been in the back of their minds that here we are in this country, knowing that we are in time going to be complete masters of these people. Now, how should we conduct ourselves? What should we do? Now, they were unscrupulous people, we might say. Their intents were to accomplish this by force. And the comparison then to a Christian is offshadowed a little bit from this. But it is the same picture which we have in mind, that we are our government is going to overtake this world. We're going to crush down all past governments, all systems such as we know them today. They're going to be destroyed. Now, we have to tell the people what we're going to do, but can you not see how this must be done in a diplomatic way to gain the respect of the people, to see what we are offering them is for their good, and eventually this is what they really want. Now, if I haven't put my point across, that you are diplomats of the highest category, then I've slipped in a small detail, because this is what I want to enhance upon our minds, is the importance of this commission of which we have as ambassadors in Christ. To bear witness to the truth in respects to God's character, to an understanding of His plan, His perfect plans, presenting ourselves as living sacrifices to this work, which must be holy and acceptable to God through the word of Jesus Christ. Willingly we must be as a good confession, respecting the kingdom, its foundation, and its ultimately superstructure in glory here on earth. Now, let's get to maybe some of the basic questions of ambassadors into Christ. Who are these ambassadors? I'm going to go backtrack here a little bit. They are, we all know, Christians who have renounced the things of this world. They have sworn all allegiance to heavenly things, and hence our citizenship is now assured in heaven. How do we receive our appointment? One, it comes by repentance. This is the first thing or act which comes upon a Christian. He must realize who he is, where he is, what he is, and how he fits into God's plans and purposes. And when the individual realizes of just who he is, of his low significance before the Almighty, it does bring him to repentance. He realizes his own weaknesses, sins, shortcomings, and turns to Christ. This eventually is worked upon knowing and understanding the word of the Bible. He sees of what Christ wants of him. He wants him to follow in his footsteps, which should lead repentance to consecration. An accepted consecration, we say, leads to justification, or one being made right. So it's a matter of first the sinner believing in Jesus Christ as his personal Savior, to realize how much the Lord has done for him, and to say, henceforth I will now live not unto myself, but unto the Lord. I will present my body a living sacrifice in your service, which I consider now my only reasonable service. Now, when are these appointments to ambassadorship made? It is now in this gospel age. There's a great work to be done, which we've mentioned, and its representatives here are to represent him and his government. Remember, there are no honorary appointments. All ambassadors are tried under the fullest and severest of conditions, to worldly conditions, which would bring us to this next question: where are we ambassadors? Some would like to be ambassadors in heaven. They would like to hold back their works until they are glorified, and then they would like to be diplomatic ambassadors to the world of bringing about all the blessings to the world of mankind. This is in store for them. But let's not put the horse before the cart. We are ambassadors on this earth at this present time, as we say, amongst alien foreigners, strangers that do not know Jehovah God's covenant. And sometimes in our enthusiasm of trying to tell them of God's plans and purposes, it becomes quite discouraging. Except as by the eye of faith which we have, we do see our commission and know our work is to this witnessing work of pointing out God's plans and purposes of restitution, and also that dual responsibility of seeking out one here and one there that might respond to our service, to be joined with us in our diplomatic corps to go out and witness to others. Needless to say, we are all ambassadors representing a very important country. The responsibility to maintain diplomatic relationships and contacts is important. So we, as Christ's ambassadors, to negotiate a gospel message, God's plan, to these alien people, for the most part, they are vaguely interested. They are not, on the whole, willing to listen. Only when a mood or a condition so warrants them to respond, then we must be ready at any time, because we are on 24-hour call, speak or act in accordance to a betterment of these diplomatic relations. We are to witness, to bring about a clear understanding of our sovereign and his intentions for them future-wise. Some of us believe that we are working an 8-hour schedule, that it is only compelled upon us to work if we are on duty. This is not so. I don't think it has happened to anyone to be called out into the middle of the night to come and witness to a friend that might be in a home, just as we seen in our film last night of Brother Woodworth, off duty, we might say, coming for a social evening, and found in the process that he is back into his work of witnessing to the truth. Now, this is something we must respond to readily, that at every opportunity, at any opportunity, wherever we may be, this is our calling, this is our work. This is what we are to be expounding upon. Carrying on in our questions, what will be the cost of being an ambassador of Christ? As Christ has told us, the cost will be our all. Some of us must leave our homes, our families, and some of our dearest worldly friends to represent the Lord in strange surroundings, in new environments, completely a different atmosphere of which we were formerly accustomed to. As I say, some give up much, others little. Some really gain. However, at consecration, when we are appointed ambassadors, whatever our status was, are all being given to the Lord, who in turn accepts such, and in the same moment returns it back to us, and says, here are your tools of which to work. It's ample. Now you are on active service. He has assured you of your needed requirements, of all such that will be provided. And we can all attest to this as we look back into the past. There hasn't been a pilgrim brother, there hasn't been a coal porter, there hasn't been anyone in the Lord's service that has needed to say, I have had not the tools in my hands to do the job which I've been asked to fulfill in my master's service. This is an assurity that everything has been provided. Question: what are the conditions of our ambassadorships? They are twofold, we might say. One, faithfulness. Our appointments are indefinite. We can't say that we are going to be in the service for 5 years, 6 years. They are indefinite. The prospects of what we might accomplish this side the veil or in our diplomatic services at this time, not revealed to us. Very discouraging if we look at those that might have gone before us. The results will be very scarce. So it does call upon faithfulness. Matthew 24:13. He that endureth unto the end, the same shall be saved. Endurance of faith. Revelations 2:10. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. The second part of our conditions is overcoming. Being a success at the vocation of which we have chosen. Revelations 3:21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. Revelations 2:7. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Revelations 2:17. To him that overcometh, will I grant to eat of the hidden manna. Revelations 2:26. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Isn't that an assuredly? Revelations 3:5. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Assuredly hear that our chief estate will speak for us if we are overcomers. Revelations 3:12. Again, he that overcometh, will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is in New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. And Revelations 21:7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. So the point that must be to receive the reward, as we spoke of, is to be an overcomer. rules of our ambassadorship. These are twofold also. One is given to us in Matthew 6:33. We are told, "But first seek ye the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you." So that is rule number one. We are to seek the first, the kingdom of God, and then these things will be added unto you. Don't think that you're going to receive these things and then you can look for the kingdom of God. Rule number two, the Apostle Paul is found in Corinthians 10:31. "Whether therefore ye eat or drink, or whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." Even down to the very point of our daily routine of eating, sleeping, or drinking. This all must be done to the honor of our Heavenly Father. Next, we look to our example. As we are to be ambassadors, what have we got for a guide, or what do we look to as an example? This too has been provided. We look to our Lord. He is our example, and as we are to represent him, we do well to heed his example and his admonitions. His mission was to bear witness to the truth. And sometimes when we look to our Lord, it seems so hard to visualize us walking as he did. Maybe to some of us, it would be better if we look to the Apostle Paul. Here we know one that wasn't perfect as our Lord, that did slip, backslide. This, too, could be a wonderful example to us. But to me, that perfect stature of our Lord, of his ministry of 3.5 years, is such a wonderful example and a help to me in my feeble, humble way of trying to strive to do the work which has been left for us. In Revelations 1:5, we read, "Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, we should also should be found faithful to that witness." Hebrews 12:2, "Looking on to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Hebrews 3:1, "Consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus." And Isaiah 52:11, "To enhance upon our minds, be ye clean that bear the vessels of the Lord." The privilege of testifying for God or being ambassadors for the truth is a favor. God, as you know, doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. It's a favor that has been granted to you for his own people, the privilege of wanting to share and to be of one so grateful to us, of wanting to let us help him to do these wonderful things for the world of mankind. Therefore, we should only show respect to those who show evidences of being in heart union with this work, with the Lord. Be assured, as you all know, there are very many false representatives or ambassadors who would like maybe in some instances to share with you in this work. We are to be aware of them. Another point which we would like to discuss for a time is the effect of our ambassadorship, I'm having trouble with that word, upon us. Dignity. This is one point which we want to enhance in your minds, the dignity of your calling. We all realize our weaknesses. I think of myself being standing up here before you. If you will excuse me for using myself as an example, if it wasn't for those words of Sister Joy yesterday in her testimony to Brother Jerry, of which I will take to myself and apply, I'm sure Sister Joy would allow me to do so, to know that the Heavenly Father or His angel or representative is here beside me, if this were not so, assuredly, brethren, I'd be back in Vancouver. I would hesitate even to be in your midst, let alone to stand before you. I realize my weaknesses. I am weak and lowly of heart. I am of but the dust of the earth, as we might all say. But when we realize that we are covered by the robes of Christ's righteousness, that we go forth in His strength and with His message, with His word, and it's not our own, it lends, believe me, dignity and pious to our character. This is what dignity and enhancement we want to add to our character, that we are worthy representatives of our Heavenly Father. Two, it adds honor to our position, will cause us to be very cautious, and we'll do nothing to cause reproach to be brought upon us or upon His name, because when it is brought upon us, it is brought upon His name, upon His character, upon His word, and our future government. And if it does not bring honor to your name, it does not bring honor to my name, or to the ecclesias of which you are representatives of. Which leads us to another point of responsibility. The responsibility of our position and its appreciation of being such a help, which in turn assists us in being faithful to in our trust of the words which we have in the Scriptures. Four, we think of the transforming power of transfer our affections from earthly to spiritually. Something really tremendous is going on inside of us. Our natural tendencies are to the world, to the flesh, and to the things of which we are so closely accustomed to. But there's miracles going on inside of our bodies and minds. We are transforming ourselves in a slow, daily, minute-by-minute process to a spiritual application. Our former hopes and aims and ambitions were once centered upon the earth, but now they are towards heavenly things. Now we are laying up treasures in heaven. We are taking all of our affections and interests and turning them to something that we are not really aware of what it might be, but to and through faith of our interests, which will be on this heavenly plane, on the spiritual plane, to be with our Lord. All our interests now are not earthly, but towards heaven. Our ambassadorship is an assistance to our consecration. Keeping our hearts and minds on our ambassadorship assists us greatly in the battle between the flesh, which is reckoned dead, but ever raising its ugly head to be battle with the new nature or the new creation. This is this chemical, you might say, reaction which is going on in your body, in your mind. This is the cravings or longings in some instances of the flesh to want to return to those old pleasures or ideals of which it was so much in sympathy with. Now the new nature, the new creation, is directing your ways and thoughts in another line, of which we must in every instance try to encourage and help to hold back the other. To walk in life, the thought of our ambassadorship regulates our walk in life. We are now to be steady and sure. In every course and every action, we are to walk a straight line. We speak of the narrow way of which we walk in life, and sometimes we're prone to think that this narrow way is just along spiritual lines. But a straight and narrow way must be in every aspect of our life. We must have goals, and we must reach those goals to accomplish which we are able to as soon as possible. Not this weaving back and forth which we do find in our lives, not just sure of which action we should take. We're supposed to come to conclusions. Often they'll be wrong, mind you. They will be wrong. But if the heart intent is right, that this is the course that you did see which was right for you, pursuing it, finding it's wrong, you can come back that straight line and go on another straight course. But as I say, when we're weak in our affections of to just which way we should be, wishy-washy we might say, this is not the proper attitude. It also produces the fruit of the Spirit, which is so dearly needed in our lives to character development. Now, speaking of ambassadors, some of us, when we go and apply for a new job, we're always interested, well, what's going to be the salary? How much am I going to make a week? Or what are going to be the rewards? Now, let's go back to our worldly ambassadors of nations. These salaries, the salary of ambassadors and his high cost of living expenses in a foreign country, often leave him out of pocket. Now, these ambassadors, you know, in other nations are prone to have to put on big party and really extravagant living. And sometimes the salaries which have been appropriated to them do not cover their expenses at all. Here is something for us to see too. Hence, one who enters into the diplomatic service must be quite wealthy to supplement his stay abroad. However, on retirement, the pensions and the social prestige which are attained seems to be quite rewarding. So we, as our Lord's ambassadors, our stay here may prove quite expensive to us. This is to an outsider. But having been assured food and clothing, our retirement benefits are ever assuring. Maybe this has not come up to you, it has to me, by one in my own family who has often said to me, how can you spend all your times on Sundays, especially at meetings, when there's so many other attractions of which you would be interested in? In other words, what he's saying is, for what you're getting out of this, you're sure missing a lot in the world of attractions. This is his opinion. Of what ours is, we know we are being amply rewarded. On a long weekend like this, if you were to tell your neighbors that you're going to spend 3 days or all your vacation at religious meetings, they would just shake their head and walk away, thinking you are allocating your time so foolishly. But we know that we are receiving ample reward. What are some of these rewards? You know them all, but doesn't it enhance when we repeat and tell you over and over again of the added rewards of which we are still to receive. That one, that we will reign with him. We read in the scriptures, if we suffer with him, we shall also reign with him. We will be joint heirs with him in his kingdom, of his kingdom work of honors and works. We will have a share in blessing all the families of the earth. If ye are Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. It also tells us unto us will be given great honor, glory, being exalted even with our Heavenly Father. Honor as the bride of the Son of God. This alone leaves us nothing to concern us with anything else, to think that we will be with him. Yet, dear brethren, there is still more. We are told, if we are faithful, that we will have immortality, deathless condition, self-existence, inherent life, not dependent upon anything or anyone, but live forever and ever. This immortality, sometimes we just take for granted, living forever and ever, but just think of what it entails, of being a source of power within oneself, that this is something that will generate life forever. This is what Jehovah God himself has. This is one of the differentials between the planes of being, between the spirit beings and the divine beings, which just brings us to this divine nature, the nature of Jehovah God himself, to be before Christ, to be exalted to this high station and glorification. There has been no one on this divine plane but Jehovah God in the first instance, and our Lord Jesus next, and the resurrected saints. But you, if faithful, will pass in these planes of beings, angels, cherubims, seraphims, and others that aren't even mentioned to us, planes of existence that might be or will or could be created in future. All these you are passing on your reward upwards, higher than anything which you could perceive. You've been taken out, chiseled, polished, and shaped from amongst your fellow mankind, and this class of ambassadors who will be the bride of his dear son. And we could go on with the salary or the remuneration of which you will receive if faithful. Which brings us back to thinking on a scripture of Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do, in words or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Realized or not, anyone who professes to be a Christian speaks and acts in the name of the Lord. Therefore, it's very important to ever keep this thought before our minds, to the intent that our actions and words may properly represent our Lord and honor the name which he has permitted us to bear. A comparison which we'd like to put before you is one as a girl, a maiden, of low standard, low income bracket family. She is met by coincidence a prince of royal blood. Doesn't very often happen. You read these fairy tales, but this is your life. You are that maiden. You have been introduced to a prince of royal blood. He has asked for your hand in marriage. You have accepted. Your wedding date is future-wise. Could you imagine a maiden as such? What must be going through her mind? Of all the warnings, all the admonitions that she would be receiving from her friends and acquaintances of the responsibilities future-wise for her. How careful she would be of her every word, her actions, of how she would immediately set about a course of instruction, of trying to realize and appropriate herself to the station of which she will future be. She would realize the honor or dishonor, the many eyes which would be upon her, always ready to criticize, always ready to find fault, and try to tell this king or this noble man of the mismatch of which he had made, of he should have married more in his station, of he should have been looking on a higher plane, to go down into the depths of poverty, into the slums of mankind to find himself a bride. Surely among the angelic hosts there would have been found ones more worthy. But this has been the course of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He did come at his first advent, as we say, into the slums to find himself a bride. He has found his espoused. He has officially announced the engagement. He's professed it among all the angelic hosts throughout the heavens. They now, I am sure, are aware of the facts of the case that this marriage is going to go through. Now they are looking at you and I to see how we are going to respond. Let it never be said that we were not trying to have our wedding garments the most beautiful, that our future careers will be as closely associated to him, to understand his work, to be in full sympathy with it, and to be a ready help. I am sure that we will want to be worthy of the vocation of which we have professed. Another custom to be aware of is that many unauthorized ones that are using the name of Jesus Christ in combination with the name of some worldly institution. We would compare this to ambassadors abroad who might be carrying on their own private business. Now, these two things just don't mix in a foreign country, because it could be criticized and found not acceptable to the nation they represent, to doing business of their own private nation or private concern in a foreign country. Mark the words, "Unto the wicked God saith, what hast thou to do to take my name into thy mouth, seeing that thou hast instruction and castest my words behind thee?" If you have taken this vocation of which to serve the Lord, this is your vocation. There is not some private concern, some institution of such that you must bring along with you or try to promote. The wicked here in our text are not the worldly wicked, but those who have a form of godliness and deny the power thereof and draw nigh with their lips, but their hearts are far off. They are covenant breakers, Lord disprovers. To rights to speak in his name and to be called Christians. They too would like to be known as ambassadors, when as a matter of fact, He disowns them to divide these into their proper good groups. How few on the one side, as we would divide them into wheat and tares. A peculiar people we must be, zealous for his name. For we remember one of the laws of the Ten Commandments, taking not the name of our Lord in vain, not serving, rather to misappropriate of the Lord's good name. Now this can be done, dear brethren, in so many different ways. It's hard for us sometimes to think of brethren who we know were sincere, who have walked in this course, have served in this diplomatic corps with us faithfully, and now we see their own private interests or concerns being developed and manifested. This is what maybe they're trying to promote. It might be self. We don't know, or we don't want to be judges of character, but we are aware of conditions which are developing. It might come to a stage where we feel that we are compelled to speak to them, to warn them of their course, how it's distracting from their true. In other cases, we can regret when we see them drop by the wayside, give up their hope, and go home or go back to their nations, which we say in the diplomatic corps, but they're in our understanding swallowed up again by the world. This is what brings tears to our eyes. We would remember in our diplomatic corps that perfection is not expected, but we are to do all in our power to glorify him. To glorify him in our bodies and our spirit, which are his, we know, and by thus doing we will have done our all and shall obtain salvation. That whatever we do, in word and deed, it shall be done unto the name of Jesus Christ. So may the Lord add his blessing to your vocation as ambassadors in Christ, that you too can be worthy of hearing from the Master himself, "Well done, wise and faithful servant. Now come forth to the rewards of which we have tried to put before you, of the rewards not only to self, but of this work which we long in our hearts to do, of blessing those peoples of the earth that so need this wonderful hope of salvation." May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Brother Bolton, for so interestingly outlining for us a complete course of training for all who would become ambassadors for Christ, and for pointing out so clearly the rewards that are offered to those that finish the course satisfactorily, the exceeding great rewards above anything that has ever been offered to any creature in the universe before. Thank you very much. Brother Bolton has asked that we sing 152 for the closing song. We will assemble again in about 15 minutes for the next discourse in the chambers at 11 o'clock. Shall we stand while we...